Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 106 for Saturday, August 27th, 2011. Come hell or high water. We are actually recording this podcast, everyone.
Good golly.
Miss Molly. Oh, well, our week has been, to say the least, very interesting.
Yes, this is Rodney and Aaron once again.
Yes, once again.
Trying to keep the streak alive.
Rodney and Aaron, trying to say the names. Thank you for remembering, dear, because I keep forgetting.
Yes.
Now, what happened, what days?
Well, let's see. Here in North Carolina, in mid-North Carolina, Raleigh to be exact, on Tuesday,
yeah, it was
afternoon,
Tuesday.
Around
1:40,
somewhere in there, the folks up near Richmond, Virginia, had a wonderful little 6.0 earthquake.
5.8.
Well, it's been varied. I think they have actually upgraded it to a 6.
Anyway, believe it or not here, we felt it. The earthquakes on the East Coast are really different from those on the West Coast because the
bedrock
is older and colder. Ha ha ha. And so the shock waves are felt for longer distances.
Yeah, so they were feeling it in, I think reports were as far as Detroit for some reason. Upper New York felt it, and as low as Georgia.
Yes, all the way down there. And so I was telling my parents who live in South Carolina, South Georgia area, that we felt it, and they didn't believe us. Of course not. But
why would they?
Why would they?
They but never believe very, anything to start with.
Well, no. But no. Anyway, it was a very interesting sensation because apparently out west, not only do you feel them for further distances out here, but they also feel different. It was almost like a swaying sensation, and apparently out west, it's more of a jolting sensation.
I had no clue what in the hell was going on.
I didn't either because I was at work. He was at home. He thought it was wind because the house was shaking and the dishes were rattling.
Well, I mean, sometimes you know. in the winter, when we have had really strong winds and everything.
Absolutely.
The siding on the house sort of vibrates and the shutters will jingle, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm standing there and everything's just sort of cluck, 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 cluck. As it gets louder and louder as the shutters are going. And after about 20 seconds, it was over. And I'm like, is something, are they doing construction? Don't quite get it.
Yeah, and I was at work, and I was leaning my cubicle wall, and we all have cubicles, was leaning against a bookcase, and I felt the bookcase move. And I'm like, I know no one's getting on the bookcase. And so it just kept moving and moving, and everyone was like, what's going on? Ah! So we had, you know, 10 or 15 people in there. Finally, we figured it out, and I called Rodney, and he said, that was an earthquake?
Exactly. I would not have known what in the heck was going on.
So, yeah.
Because, I mean, you can have a dump truck go down the street and it'll register like a 3.5 tremor, you know, in the ground. Or at least that's what they told us in geology class.
Ooh. I'm glad I didn't take that class.
Oy.
With him.
But, anyway, I mean, it was just interesting because I just had no clue, and other people were like saying, well, you know, you're supposed to get in a doorway when you have an earthquake. And I'm like,
how are you supposed to know there's one coming?
I don't know that there's an earthquake, you know. I haven't had an earthquake sensation before. So it was quite interesting. I mean, the ground shook a little bit, and the house sort of wiggled here and there. But
And then Wednesday night, was it Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
The whole computer thing.
Oh, yes.
That was Wednesday night.
Then Wednesday night, we had the infamous RPC issue going on your desktop.
Yes. Happens to me about every six to eight months.
Yes, like a remote protocol.
Remote procedure call.
Yeah, that's it. Still have not been able to figure out how in the heck to resolve this issue other than having to do a restore point.
So luckily we were able to do that, or you were able to do that Thursday when I was gone. So when I got home Thursday night, it was mostly fixed, although I didn't feel comfortable enough to, you know, say completely was fixed until, you know, I played with it some. So
yeah, this is one of those issues where if you've ever been using Windows and you go into a file folder and everything just sort of freezes, and then next thing you know, Windows Explorer will just crash and not be responsive. And then every time after that, you try and actually go into a folder, it does the exact same thing.
Yeah. And
it's the most bizarre, irritating
no
thing.
To the people who say, reboot the computer, that does not fix this.
Yeah, it's amazing the amounts of whack-a-doodle things that people recommend.
There was one time when that did fix the situation, yeah, and it was when I had my external hard drive doing it.
Yeah.
And that was like just, it was being slow. This was about a year or so ago. And it was being really slow, and so it did it, and then I rebooted and everything was fine. But
I actually saw one that said, have you checked your keyboard and mouse?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was like,
what?
Yeah, I didn't respond to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, granted, if you went into a folder and all of a sudden nothing was responding, yeah, your keyboard could have died on you.
Yeah.
Batteries, if it's a wireless, that kind of thing. I could see that possibly.
I mean, that's a weird question when you think of the fact that you had to use the mouse or keyboard to get it not to respond.
Yeah.
So your mouse and keyboard is working.
Well, it's kind of difficult to troubleshoot from a distance.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
All suggestions are always a good thing. You just never know. But yeah, it's amazing how many people will respond, and then they'll respond with the same thing that other people have already said, you know.
Well, Twitter is one of those things that people don't follow everyone, so not everyone's going to know what everyone else said.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to follow conversations.
Yeah.
So, but anyway,
and
one thing that you do is you look on forums and things for answers to this RPC thing. So one of the suggestions was run the system file checker, which you open a command prompt. In Windows 7, you actually have to open it as administrator, and then you have to do SFC space /scan now, SCANNOW, and put your Windows disk in, and it'll scan the system looking for issues. Well, that came up with no issues
Nothing.
Found. So luckily, in the last Windows update on Monday the 22nd, I guess it was, there was a restore point that Windows did. So we were able to restore to that, thankfully.
Whew.
Then I made a ghost immediately after so that I have a good restore point.
Oh, nice.
But
nice.
As of yet, nothing else has been going on whatsoever.
No.
Nope.
No. Well, wait a minute. There is one more thing.
What?
As if all this weren't enough, we are currently in the midst of Hurricane Irene.
Come on, Irene. Wait a minute. No, that's wrong.
That's
song.
Eileen.
Whoops. My bad. Spelled similar, sort of.
Sort of.
It's
the
got een
is the same.
Well, actually, the een is different because it's
well, that's
E-I-L-E-E-N.
And E-N-E.
Yeah.
So it's all different.
Yeah.
It sounds
the
same.
There's E's and I's and N's in there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was forecast to hit the East Coast, starting in North Carolina first, and then it's going to like barrel its way on up to New York and Massachusetts and New Hampshire and all those places, and obviously Virginia. So I hope everyone stays safe.
Yeah, and it made landfall right around Atlantic Beach, Morehead City, I believe, sometime this morning, like around 8 or 9 a.m., I think it was.
And these storms are amazing because we are like 150 miles away from where it actually made landfall. We're not near the coast at all, but we're getting a lot of wind and rain from it.
Yeah, and it's always an interesting thing when there's a hurricane because the rain goes north to south as it spins. So you'll go through a rain band, and then next thing you know, there's nothing. Zip. Nothing. And then another band will come by, and then you'll get a lot of rain, and then next thing, it's nothing.
Nothing. And it's even doing that here when we're technically not in the hurricane itself.
Yeah, so we've been dealing with power fluctuations, wind gusting anywhere from 30 to 60 miles per hour over the last 12 hours, I guess it is.
Oh, and check out my audio boos about Hurricane Irene.
Yes, your timeline on Twitter has a couple of audio
boos. Yes, I may get an update a little bit later. I do know I want to thank a couple people from other parts of the world who have told me that they really enjoy them because they've never experienced a hurricane. So thank you for the experience. So you're welcome.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big winter storm when you think of the wind blowing and things like that. But the wind can go in multiple directions quickly, you know, with how they gust around and everything.
So,
but yeah, we're 150 miles away. I had a cousin that was in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Did she leave?
No, they stayed. And they actually had tornado warnings last night and ended up hiding in the closet and everything. But I think everybody was okay out of that.
She was on Facebook this morning, so she was somewhat fine.
Yeah, I think that's a permanent implant.
Yeah,
seems like with she's her. Always
yeah,
on there.
She's always on there.
But they, I think, were, say, 20 or 30 miles to the west of the eye wall of Irene. Being here in the south, I've dealt with hurricanes off and on. The worst one I had to deal with was Hurricane Fran, which came through in 1996, because we were actually in Sanford, North Carolina, and were...
you, not me.
Yeah,
I wasn't there.
I was. We were basically about 30 to 35 minutes away from the eye on the west side.
Because that came really far inland.
Yeah, it basically went up the I-95 interstate corridor. But yeah, it was pretty freaky. I have to say that was a stressful night. Because we lost power at like 8 p.m. at night and didn't get it back for like 24 hours or something like that. And it was just constant wind, rain, and you couldn't see anything, power out, telephone out, everything. So,
oh my God. Yeah. So we were going to have visitors this weekend.
Yes.
Should we even go there?
Oh, why not?
Why not? We're giving you all the other details. Well, anyway, I had my parents were going to come. And I told him last weekend, why don't you come up visit? It's been a while, you know, that kind of thing. May not get to visit for a long time yet, another month or so. So, you know, come on up this weekend. Well, we didn't really know what was going to happen with Irene. It was out there, but it wasn't even...
It hadn't even gotten to Cuba.
No, I mean, it hadn't even been set to hit. We had no idea it was even going to get up here. So, you know, we got in there, you know, towards the week. And on Tuesday, it was kind of like, we'll play it by ear. It may hit. We may have rain. We'll just tell you and you won't come. Well... It gets to last night, and they still haven't quite decided. I'm telling them, you know, it probably would be a very good idea if you not come. But tomorrow morning, we will discuss it before you leave. Give me a call, and we'll talk about it. At 6 o'clock this morning, I woke up and listened to this get steadily worse over the next hour and a half. And I called and left them a voicemail message at 7:30 this morning saying, it is probably the best idea for you not to come. I hope I'm not waking you up because I know it is early and I know you were going to call me before you left. So, you know, I'm assuming you're still in bed or whatever. And, you know, please, I'd appreciate it. We'll set another time to visit. Nothing personal, you know, that kind of thing. Well, I didn't hear anything back. So about 9 o'clock, I called again, got their voicemail, and I thought, no, they didn't get in the car and start driving up here, did they? Well, when I was leaving them yet a second voicemail message, my mother was leaving me a message saying that they were like almost halfway here. So I was very upset, called and said, you know, it would have been really nice if you'd have done what you said you were going to do and called beforehand so we could maybe talk about this a little bit. So I didn't have to feel really bad about turning you around and sending you on home.
Well, it's one of those things where it's kind of a catch-22 because you're in a hurricane situation. You don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, you can have tornadoes pop up like crazy. You can have flash floods. I mean, we've been in a flash flood watch since last night.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had steady rain going on, but the wind is just ridiculous.
I know.
And there's been power outages. There were cars going through developments near here that had tree limbs fall on top of their car because they were driving. There was actually concrete barriers that toppled over in a couple of construction sites, you know. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's not that bad. It's not much more than like a winter storm or something, but... The wind can just pick up and be 65 miles
per
hour.
It's so gusty. It's so gusty. That's the problem.
So it's and to be honest, about an hour from here, you know.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
There's nothing going on.
You wouldn't even know that there was anything going on other than, oh, there's a little bit of a breeze today.
Hmm. I mean, and it's just amazing to me how all of us, I mean, we're on the like extreme west of the whole thing. And so just over the, not quite over the county line, but almost, there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't know it if you were driving up here.
Amazing how a hurricane can be 450 miles in size.
I know.
You know, around, you know, it's just crazy. But yeah, your folks just, I don't know. They just don't quite get it. My mom's immediate comment was, are they crazy? Because, I mean, we have lost power twice today.
I know.
For a couple of hours, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And we lived in Atlanta, and we had one experience that was somewhat similar to your Fran experience, although not quite as bad.
Yeah, that was Opal. Wasn't it?
That really creeped me out, because we were driving home in these 50-mile-an-hour winds. Because I flew from here to Atlanta for, was it fall break or some such thing? And happened to be in the midst of it. But it wasn't as bad as the Fran incident. We didn't lose power or anything.
Wasn't it your return from France?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
It was the year before that.
Ah, okay. I can't remember exactly.
No, my return from France was the snowstorm I had to fly back into.
Oh, well, I mean when you were coming back from France.
Oh, no, that was in June. Oh, okay. That was too early for that.
Aha.
Anyway, we've rambled on, and people are probably don't even want to listen to us anymore.
Yeah, because Lord knows there's nothing else to follow.
Yeah.
But yes, that is why we sort of opened with the
Scorpions
from 1977 with the Rock You Like a Hurricane. It is not for the Hurricanes hockey team. I just do not understand hockey here in the Raleigh area. I think they used to be the Whalers or something.
Affectionately known as the Canes.
Yes, and if you follow them, you're a Caniac.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. They've got the Caniac Club.
You're making that up.
No, it's too stupid. I can't make that up.
Well, okay.
I mean, it kind of makes sense that you would call them Eaks of some sort.
Yeah, but still.
I mean, granted, the Carolina Panthers are here, and I don't think they call them Panther Eaks.
No, but Caniac and Brainiac, they sort of sound alike.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't get it.
Let's move along, dear, because we've drawn this out entirely too much.
Well, everybody's interested. They like to know these things. Mm. We actually have sort of a life here and there occasionally.
Kind of.
But as far as like the earthquake thing, iOS 5 apparently in China and Japan are going to have the earthquake indicators. I guess they have more of a robust alert system over there.
Well, I think iOS 5 is going to support their own, it's Japan, I think their national alert system they've already got set up. So it's going to be integrated into iOS 5 so that the notifications from that that national alert system will be on your iPhone, kind of as a built-in app.
Yeah.
Like a built-in third-party app?
Yeah, so you'll be able to get notifications over there. We do not have that robust of a system.
No. So. They should have something for California like that.
Yeah, it would have been great to be able to say, that really was an earthquake.
Wow, earthquake.
I didn't even think to turn the news on or anything. I was totally oblivious. I could have been a goner.
Well, I'm usually the oblivious one. That was what was so funny.
Yeah, true.
That was an earthquake. I'm like, oh my God, that's total me all over the place.
Well, we live in a construction area. They're still building houses and things. It could happen.
That's true.
A train could derail and make that much noise.
That's true.
You know, have no idea.
All right.
Anyway, we did have a little bit of a listener mail from last week.
Yes, we sure did. David Partrick, in particular, he says that he really appreciated the Jaws Dictionary tip that came out a couple days ago for the Jaws Dictionary. So he's been changing pronunciations in Kurzweil for a long time, pronunciations of words, but he just didn't bother with it for Jaws. So now he knows how to use it, and he's very excited about that. So I'm glad that was helpful for someone.
Yeah, because I would have never even thought of that. But you can change the pronunciations.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Richard Erler emailed us with a discussion of the learning ally versus ally pronunciation, and most likely it's ally. I did notice something really interesting, though, when using Jaws. The phrase learning ally comes out correctly. The word ally does not.
Oh.
So I think that's where people are getting confused.
Yeah, because I've heard it spoken multiple different ways. So
yeah,
it's always good to bring it up as being confusing how something is pronounced, because then you actually find out if people are listening.
Right.
We didn't know you were listening. Now we do.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So but yeah,
it's one of those things. Plus, in the Web 2.0 world, you never know if they drop an E just to be
hip. Cute.
You know, to be a hipster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Word.
Yeah. Anyway, now that we have digressed a little bit more, in a couple of follow-up things from last week, when we last spoke, we had mentioned that ABC and Fox were delaying their videos that you could watch on the internet, like on Hulu or such, by 8 days. Well, now that they have done this and implemented it, I think it was around the 15th or 16th of August, they're finding that people are downloading Hell's Kitchen and MasterChef at 114% increase.
Illegally.
Illegally on BitTorrent.
They're surprised by this?
So if you miss an episode, well, I mean, Hell's Kitchen and MasterChef are difficult because they show two episodes per night, two nights in a row. So like on Monday, you'll have two episodes, and then on Tuesday night, you'll have two episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you had to wait 8 days, you're going to be like way behind.
That's what I'm Gordon saying. Ramsay's, they're surprised by this?
Yeah. So Torrent Freak is reporting that it's up by 114% in downloads, which I can see that. Miss things, if I can't find it, I go
underworld.
I go into the dark world that I slowly come back from. In other things, Apple had done a injunction in Germany as far as the Samsung Galaxy and Galaxy Tab phones and tablets. Well, now they have sort of a mixed decision in the Dutch area.
Yeah, some of the tablets are banned and some are not.
Yeah, so a Dutch judge has ruled that cell phones are banned and should be stopped the sale by Samsung in the EU by October 13th. So that includes the Galaxy S, S2, and the Acer smartphones. Galaxy Tab is not one of the things. So tablets are still okay, but cell phones are another story. This sort of gives a winning feeling for Apple, because they have actually been able to delay the 10.1 Galaxy Tab tablet in Germany and Australia, but nowhere else.
Now, keep in mind, though, that this is only an injunction. This is not the formal trial. So this injunction could be overturned at the trial.
And they cited the fact that the cell phones were infringing on a portable electronics device for photo management patent.
Yeah, patent stuff is so vague.
So I guess if you can put your phones on it, if you can put your photos on your phone, then somehow it must be impacting it.
But then you think, why not the tablet?
Yeah, I don't know. So. It's confusing. Patent system is crazy. Here in the U.S., Disney always comes up every couple of years and throws some money at the government so that Mickey Mouse doesn't go into open domain.
He was
supposed to be out in open domain like in the 60s, I think it was, because it was like 30 years that a patent could hold, and every year they go and it gets extended more and more and more. So it's kind of irritating.
More Apple news. Steve Jobs has finally thrown in the towel. Has thrown in the towel. He has resigned as CEO, effective immediately, but he is still the chairman of the board.
Yeah, he volunteered to stay on as chairman of the board, still wants to be an Apple employee, still wants to be involved, but he feels that his abilities to manage and be CEO of the company is not where it needs to be.
Well, he's been having some health problems. He's had pancreatic cancer, I believe, and
yeah,
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was pancreatic cancer, and I mean, he kind of ended up his little message that was sent out saying something like he really enjoyed working with all the people that he'd worked with Apple and hope to continue to work with them and that kind of thing. So it kind of sounds like maybe his health is taking a turn for the worse and mm-hmm. he needs to focus more on his health and family, possibly.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Tim Cook, who was the chief operations officer, has now been promoted.
Yes. And that's kind of been in the works for the last few years. And if you ever watch any of the Apple keynotes, Cook has been doing some of the little segments here and there to kind of get people familiar. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think Apple is probably really going to be impacted for a while, but once they try and create new products, I don't know whether the vision is going to be there. You know, because Steve Jobs was way ahead of the curve. You know, he tried to think in terms of how is a consumer going to be impacted by this change? Yes, you're going to put this processor and this functionality, but how in the end is the consumer going to be impacted? You know, as far as the cell phone, the iPhone, the touch interface for the iTouch and the iPad and all that. So.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll still be there. They've had time to adjust to the fact that he's not going to be around. I mean, they've had he's been, it seems like, grooming Tim Cook for a couple of years for this position.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an adjustment factor.
It'll just be an adjustment, and hopefully they'll weather the storm well.
Yeah, and thoughts go out to him and hope that he's around for many more years. And can possibly make appearances at the keynotes and such. No real clue as to whether he's going to do any of that public speaking or not.
Yeah.
Now, seeing as how August is one of those months when technology news is kind of slow, it seems like here at the end, everything is going crazy.
Yeah.
Hewlett-Packard, the HP company of HP.com, is going to actually change and stop producing consumer PCs, kind of like IBM did several years ago.
What about the printers? Are they going to stop with those too?
They are apparently keeping the printer business.
And of course, they're also going to be ditching WebOS. WebOS, which sort of surprises some people because they just released a couple new products a couple months ago, and they have been rumoring, you know, that they're going to be releasing a couple new cell phones and things. And
yeah, they released the touchpad, which coincidentally lasted one more day than the Microsoft Kin phones. So they are killing the touchpad and the pre phones, which were the
Palms
WebOS phones. If anybody was under a rock, the HP touchpads went on sale last week for
$99
for the 16 gig and $149 for the 32 gigabyte versions, and they sold out like hotcakes.
Wow.
And Best Buy and Office Max and Staples and places like that were selling out like crazy. Apparently, HP still has some, and they will be putting them up on their site very soon. It's kind of funny that people really weren't that interested when it was $300 and $400 and $500, but now that it's $99, people are like clamoring for it. I mean, it's kind of tempting because if you knew somebody that was wanting a photo frame or something to watch TV apps or videos on or something like that, the screen resolution is probably pretty good. It's not quite as fast and up to standard as the iPad, but hey, it might be a good entry level tablet for folks. Now, what are they going to do with the wonderful PC market? Well, Samsung was rumored to be interested and talking with HP about this. Well,
they say they're not.
Yeah, Samsung is saying now that they are not interested in the HP touchpad, WebOS, and phones. So could it be doublespeak by Samsung?
Who knows? Well, HP is discontinuing some of its products, and Sony Ericsson has just announced a new product, which, quite frankly, I'm not seeing the appeal. This is the Walkman phone.
Yes, the Live with Walkman phone. The Walkman was a cassette player that came out, I believe, in 1977, 78,
something like that.
Big, bulky thing. They are coming out with the Sony Ericsson Walkman phone, which will have deep,
deep Facebook integration.
Which means that they'll pull in your contacts, calendar, mail, and all that such from Facebook. It will also have Xperia Play Access, which I believe is like their game store or something. They are also going to have their Music Unlimited service, which only has about 7 million songs, which is like half or less
than half of iTunes. Spotify and iTunes.
Yeah. Now, as far as statistics, it will have a 3.2-inch screen, 32 megabytes of RAM, a 1 gigahertz processor, a 5-megapixel camera, and it will be running Android 2.3 Gingerbread.
Wow.
So it sounds like it's a little bit outdated before it even gets here, kind of like the touchpad by HP.
Another silly thing that RIM is doing, manufacturers of BlackBerry, they are starting their own music service.
Yeah, I don't quite get this.
I don't understand this either.
They're going to call it the BBM Music for BlackBerry. Apparently, they're going to try and go after some of the youngsters, young hipsters that are using BlackBerries.
Are there really any? Because most BlackBerry users are business people.
Well, I have heard some of the tech pundits saying that they actually know kids in high school that are actually using RIM BlackBerries as high school students because they can text a lot faster with the keyboards.
Huh. That's...
And they like using the BlackBerry Messenger because that goes around texting plans, which we will mention soon. But yeah, they're trying to go after young consumers.
But the songs, you can only have access to 50 at a time.
Yeah, for 1 month.
For 1 month. And
I believe Molly Wood said that after 29 days of listening to the same 50 songs on her phone, she might as well kill herself.
Yeah, I can totally understand that.
So yeah, that's kind of interesting, and I don't quite get the idea. Everybody seems to think that they can't just go with what music services are out there. They have to create their own.
Yeah.
It's not.
And they end up usually not lasting.
It's like radio stations on the internet. They keep popping up like mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Anyway. Facebook, in other news, since that was sort of a Facebook issue, Facebook is having problems with the like button in
Germany.
Schleswig-Holstein.
Something like that. In the German province of... Never mind.
Schleswig-Holstein.
That.
Sounds like something that Hitler character in the movies would say.
I do have one German friend, and if you're listening to this podcast, sorry for the mixed up pronunciation. In any event,
if you were Southern like me, you might say Schleswig-Holstein. Holstein. Yeah, that's right. In Germany.
Yes. They are trying to make the like button illegal, and the certain politician is urging his constituents not to like things on Facebook or go to people's fan pages because these items link back to the United States, and people in the U.S. can learn about you if you do that.
Yeah, and they're claiming that it violates German and European data privacy laws. So a lot of government officials are sort of getting on the bandwagon saying that all government websites need to remove like buttons and plus ones and such.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Speaking of plus
Germans,
one,
Germans, they're just kind of crazy over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know. I'm all this
like with just Google Maps and Google Street View, they wanted to be able to say, you know, I don't want my phone, my house to be on your service. So can you please blur address 1514? Thank you. So, yeah. Facebook, in other news, is going to actually start rolling out some new privacy controls starting this past Thursday.
Yes, they are going to follow Google Plus's example with some of these controls.
Yeah,
particularly,
if anybody hadn't heard, Mark Zuckerberg was on Google Plus for a while, and now he's disappeared.
Yeah, Facebook claims they've been working on this stuff for about 5 months now, but it looks awful Google Plus-ish.
Yeah, they are going to change in the privacy settings where you used to be able to say, okay, only my friends and friends of friends, and these are private. Those kind of settings.
Those can
are
go
not
to everyone.
Public,
yeah.
Which is good because everyone kind of means, okay, I have a list of friends. That means it's going to go to all my friends?
No, everyone means is going to go to everyone on the internet.
Yeah. So
and not a lot of people know that.
Yeah. That's kind of a good thing, and I can't believe they hadn't really done that sooner than now anyway.
Because really what I thought everyone meant was everyone on Facebook.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. Means it means everyone on the internet.
It's out there in the wild for everyone to consume.
Yes.
They are also going to allow you to set group display options. So you'll be able to put people into, okay, I want these in public. I want these posts to go to friends only. And I want these to be custom settings that only go to certain people like coworkers and such.
Again, Google Plus-ish.
You know, I mean, hey, if you were sitting there at the Christmas party at work, you know, and you were Xeroxing your butt on the copy machine, you might not want that picture to go to your boss. I don't know. They're also going to allow you to view these different groups as well as say photos that you are tagged in are good or not good. So you get to actually say, yes, that is me, or no, that is not me. And apparently that's going to be retroactive.
Yeah.
Once the service gets pushed down to you.
And apparently somehow you're going to be able to remove yourself from photos that you've been tagged in.
Yeah, which is kind of a good thing because mm-hmm. there is kind of a crazy little meme going around Facebook where people actually tag inanimate objects as people.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yes.
You
are a tree.
Yes. Well, no, I'm not a tree, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Google Plus has instituted a new verification scheme.
Yeah, which is bizarre because they aren't telling you how in the heck they're doing it. They haven't told it. If you go to some people's profiles, it does actually have a green check mark there saying that this person is verified. My account says that I'm verified on Google Plus, and I think that is because beforehand my Google profile page was actually verified. If you don't know, you can go to the KNOLL system, the KNOLL.google.com, I believe it is, and you can verify using a credit card. And it'll go out, or cell phone, I believe, is one of the other options where you can actually say, hey, this is me, and then it'll put a check mark on your thing. So evidently they have rolled your Google profile verification forward into Google+. How you're going to be able to do it otherwise, nobody really knows other than Google is trying to determine that. So if someone out there is named Psycho Clown, maybe Psycho Clown is really the God-given name that his mother gave him.
Oh.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, but, you know, Twitter has been releasing...
The Bootstrap Toolkit.
Yes, to developers of API clients for Twitter. I'm only mentioning this because people have noticed when their API clients update that sometimes a little pop-up will come up in the user account control if you've got Windows 7 or Vista saying bootstrap.exe is requesting your permission. Do you want this program to, you know, do whatever it's going to do?
And if you authorize it.
Do you authorize it? And people who say no are wondering why their updates aren't occurring.
Yeah, I haven't experienced this with TweetDeck. So
I have with Quitter.
Doing something.
I have with Quitter. It comes up. And, you know, you'd think you'd be able to get it to say the program you're using or, you know, Quitter client or something wants to request your permission. But instead it says Bootstrap requests your permission and it throws people off. So, you know, that must be the way that that's, you know, put together. So if you see that, your API client wants to update.
Yeah. Don't tell me that they decline it. And then next thing you know, on Twitter, they're trying to tweet that Quitter is not working.
Yes, I have seen that.
Well, did
my Quitter update? I don't understand. Well, when you ran the update, did a little user notification box come up right when you clicked update? Well, yeah. Did it say something about Bootstrap? Well, yeah. Did you say no? Well, yeah.
Yeah, and Bootstrap in a nutshell allows for developers to actually be able to drop their code in and get back a nice, wonderful CSS interface that they can actually put into their pages or HTML documents. Gives them sort of a grid typography.
Makes it a little easier.
Yeah, it gives them layouts and different things. I believe it's called Simple and Powerful CSS.
Yes.
Cascading Style Sheets for the abbreviation impaired. So you drop your code in, you wait a little bit, and all of a sudden, via JavaScript, you get some simple CSS to put on your page. Hot diggity dang diggity. Now, in a not so hot diggity dang diggity moment, AT&T is rumored to be changing their texting plans.
Starting August 21st, the rumor said, supposedly, AT&T was going to offer only two choices for a texting plan.
Yeah, you'd be able to get a $20 unlimited individual plan or a $30 unlimited family plan. They are citing the fact that their customers actually like unlimited.
We do.
So Engadget has said that this would start August 21st. I haven't seen any changes to our plan.
No.
We just basically use the $5 a month, 200 messages, and I have to say that I've only reached that once.
I hardly ever use text messages, so I don't think I've ever reached it.
So, yeah, if they actually start forcing existing customers to have to do that, I'm probably going to stop.
I don't want messages. Them. If they're gonna, I wouldn't pay
$30. And then everybody at work will be sending me text messages, going, "I sent you a text. Sorry, I don't have it. Do you have Facebook Messenger? Do you have Beluga?
Do you have Twitter? Yes, you can send me direct messages."
Well, see, I wonder about Twitter because, like, using the Twitter app, they count towards your message count.
Yeah, but if you had a Twitter app on your phone,
I know, but I'm saying the Twitter app itself counts towards your text messaging numbers. Or at least that's the way it has appeared to me before.
Anyway,
in other updates, Dropbox has finally updated for Lion.
On the Mac.
Yes. The only problem is the preferences are still not accessible to voice-over users, thanks to Rick Reed on Twitter, who responded. He is at RWNUTJOB. Real wild nut job, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
License plates for 200, Alex.
Yes. So anyway, thanks to Rick for pointing that out, because we didn't know. We were all excited. Ooh, it updated for Lion, but I think it still has the same problem it had before.
Actually, a license plate is 8 characters, and that is an 8 character. RWNUT job. Real wild nut job. I could be right there.
Could be wrong, too.
There was a TV show back in the 80s that was the game show.
No.
Yeah, they would throw up license plates on the big screen, and people would compete to see who could debug them and decipher them first.
It wasn't Alex Trebek, was it?
No. Oh. It might have been like Martindale.
Oh. Ooh. Hmm. Okay.
Somebody like that.
Someone goofy like that.
Now, let's see if I can do a little I speech. I threw her off.
Do you really have
transition.
It? Do you really have it?
No, I don't have it.
Oh, I was going to say, that's why I was waiting.
I have enough problems with English.
I thought you were going to put your iPhone up there and actually do something. That's why I was waiting.
Oh.
iSpeech.
Did not do that. No. Yeah,
that's what I thought. iSpeech is a new iPhone app that apparently takes sound bites of words spoken by the last two presidents, Obama and G.W. Bush, and you can create sentences.
I wonder if it does all.
Yeah, I wonder that too. You can create words and sentences, so, you know, write things in, and they, whatever president you want, will speak them back to you. Now, that's just funny.
See, if this was a professional podcast, we would have actually planned ahead so that we could actually do that.
I thought you had done that. I was really impressed.
No. I'd be not smart enough for that one with all the technical glitches going on.
Yeah, we've been having problems, and I had thought about doing that, but yeah, that's true. It was. And it's a free app, so if you want to download it and try it, be my guest.
And in other wonderful, there is now a iClarified app as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it's called iClarified. I think it's called Audio Browser, and this actually reads web pages to you. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I mean, you pull it up in the iClarified app, you pull up a website, and it comes out in audio. So I guess it uses, you know, voices to read the page. We're not sure. I mean, this has not actually been developed. It is seeking funding through Kickstarter. You can read about it on our delicious bookmarks, or you can go to Kickstarter and search for iClarified. And it is seeking, they are seeking $30,000 to start creating the product. But it will be an app that will read web pages aloud.
Doesn't VoiceOver do that? Maybe it'll do a different
version. This is for people who do not, I mean, I'm thinking it's for people who don't use VoiceOver. Sighted people who are just lazy and don't want to read.
Aha.
That's what I'm thinking it's for.
Uh-oh. I just downloaded iSpeech. I'll have to play with this as we are going along here and see what I can come up with by the end of this podcast.
Yeah, I'll have to see if it's even accessible.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Anyway.
Now, into other accessibility or not so accessible, but kind of cool. Vocalize.
Yeah, Vocalize.
VocalyZE.
It's a sort of similar service, I think, to what iClarified is trying to do, except for this is with audio news feeds. It will, it works, it's an app that works in partnership with various news aggregation companies, and the Vocalize apps will allow you to listen to your favorite news feeds in audio. So, Vocalize has just announced some new partnerships with a couple of news aggregators, and they're trying to get this app out there. I'm not sure what the name of it's going to be. The company is called Vocalize Media. And so that's something that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and the two websites that are going to try and start using that are masshightech.com and
Goodmenproject.com. Goodmenproject, that's right.
So they'll be able to stream their wonderful articles.
News feeds and convert them into text-to-speech. I love Tech Access Weekly. That's funny. I love Tech Access Weekly. Yes. We get an endorsement from President Obama himself.
Why, yes.
All right. Moving into accessibility news, there is another Kickstarter project called Tacit. And this is a handheld sonar device that blind people can use. I guess that the whole like echolocation clicking thing is coming back in again, and people are trying to navigate with that. Well, this is a way in which you don't do that, but it still uses a sonar effect to kind of give you an idea of where the obstacles are in relation to yourself as you're walking along. And you mount this little device on your wrist, and it has a couple of sensors that press on your wrist. And you can tell by the vibrations, I assume, where the obstacles are in relationship to you. Other than that, I don't really know that much about it.
It is a bizarre thing. I'm not seeing this practical in its current method. It's kind of like a wrist splint that you put on your wrist and right on your hand, and it has a camera that is padded and goes like right above your, right in this place between your, right in the web of your hand on the backside, so that when you hold your hand level, the camera is facing. So it's like when you reach for something, it's right between your thumb and your finger. It's the strangest dang thing. Why you would want a pair of goggly Google glasses sitting on your hand, I'm not exactly sure, but it's a prototype, and most likely it will get a lot smaller as technology allows. So that could be a
hopefully
cool thing.
So, yeah.
Shows a guy, the video that you can go and see actually shows a guy walking along, and he can kind of put his hand out and wave it around, and he can tell that, okay, there's a chair in front of them, there's a glass here, there's different things in its way without actually having to use a cane.
That is kind of neat.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Also, we talked last week about the American Council for the Blind and Google teaming up to put out a survey about computer usage by those who are blind, deaf, blind, etc.
Oh, dear Lord, that takes forever.
Oh, my God. It took me like an hour and a half. 20 minutes! Whoever thought it would take 20 minutes to complete was, I don't know what they were smoking.
They were a visual user.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, and you're sort of a visual user, and it took you longer than 20 minutes. You didn't even finish it.
Well, I got hung up on a stupid chart that I didn't realize that, okay, it's 1 to 12, 12 options. You're supposed to put you're supposed to set the radio button in each one of the options.
Yeah, it's kind
of
hard.
And if you duplicate it, it gets rid of the other one that you previously had set.
It was goofy.
Then you hit submit, and you don't realize that it took it away, and you're sitting there going,
wait a minute. What?
I had an error? What error?
Well, anyway, yeah, I compared my taking time, so to speak, to that of a few other blind users on Twitter, and we all had about an hour and a half. That's how long it took us to complete it. Anyway, very thorough survey, I will say that.
It could have been executed a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. Better.
The table that I was complaining about, they could have very easily put text boxes and just said, okay, number these from 1 to 12,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then as you do it, you just hit a 1 through 12
yeah.
instead of this radio button thing.
Media Access Australia, I believe it's what they're called, they are putting out their own survey. It's a little bit different, though. It's not as all-encompassing. It doesn't talk about computers and technology and all that kind of thing. It only talks about social media. So they want to know how blind people use social media, what sites they use, and how they use it. So if you want to find out how to complete that, go to the Media Access Australia's website. And again, we have a link to this in our show notes that will talk about how to complete that survey.
Yes, and I'll try and put that link in the actual post for this here episode.
Another event, it's going to take place in Leipzig, Germany in September, is the World Braille Congress 2011.
I hope nobody likes it.
Yeah, World Braille Congress, it was the 21st World Braille Congress
yes.
also. You can go to daisy.org for more information on this, but essentially it's an event where people can get together and debate the challenges and uses of Braille in the upcoming years, and you can register for this up until August 31st and through August 31st. And, you know, for more information, go to daisy.org and you can find out how to do that.
And if you're up for traveling, I guess.
Yeah, and if you're up for traveling, and I think you can only, I think, aren't there like only a few hundred people who can register? And then after that, you're out of luck. But I don't know if they're going to stream the conference or not. I think that information is also on the Daisy Consortium website.
Aha. Uh-huh. So head over to daisy.org. What were you
Well, we had two What Were You Thinking stories. One of them was the BlackBerry Music Service, because I just think that is completely weird. But
just makes no sense.
Yeah. It fit in earlier, so I went ahead and talked about it. The other What Were You Thinking story is also, I mean, you know, you got to commend the guy for his honesty, but there's such a thing as honesty and there's such a thing as stupidity. You know, there's a line here between, really, do you need to report that, and thank you for reporting something important. This gentleman illegally parked in a handicapped parking spot, did not have a handicap placard. Instead of saying, oh, whoops, my bad, I will make sure not to do it again, he went public and went to the police and said, oh, I'm sorry, I want to report myself for illegally parking in a handicapped spot. He had already left the spot. There wasn't a whole lot they could do to him.
What? Do you want a medal or something?
I know. I don't understand. I'm sorry. I did it. You know, I mean, I guess if he hadn't left, they could have towed his car or something, you know, but.
Yeah, there could have been some sort of an issue, you know. I mean, he could have been fined, but.
Yeah, after he left and he reported it, what's the point of doing that? I don't get it.
Well, maybe he was hit with such guilt, you know.
Mm.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's always amusing. I always like going places at the holiday time when it's mm-hmm. like Christmas and things. And I have a handicap sticker. You have a handicap mm-hmm. sticker. If I go somewhere with somebody and we park in a handicap spot and I get out of the car, I'm not carrying a cane or anything like that. I don't look handicapped or anything.
That's true.
And occasionally you'll get strange looks from people.
Mm-hmm.
I think one time some guy yelled out, you know, those spots are for handicapped people.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, that's why I've got to watch this guy that I'm walking with. I don't know. It was funnier at the time.
No, I understand that. I mean, you know, yeah, I get that. Were you with your dad going somewhere?
No, I think.
Or Dwight?
Yeah, Dwight, I believe it was.
Oh, Dwight.
Yes, Dwight or Duenio of the North, our friend that is a pilot.
Where's he at now, anyway?
I have no idea, because I don't read Facebook. And
he used to be in Ecuador.
He
was in Ecuador and chasing spiders out of his cabin.
Yes, he travels about every 2 months from one place to the next doing flying contracts. He's been to Afghanistan. He's been to Area 51, all those kind of places. So Anyway, we digress. And
again.
Digression and earth-shattering, hell or high water episode of Tech Access Weekly.
Is coming to a close.
106. And if you want to check out the bookmarks for this, you can check out the delicious.com/techaccess/106. Woohoo! How we're keeping this going, I do not know.
I don't know either.
And we're coming up on our actual 2-year anniversary, which is the beginning of this show, started in August 30th,
2009. Oh my God.
Jeez Louise. And for some reason, the listener count continues to increase from that point.
We're not sure why.
I have no idea.
I mean, we are grateful and everything. Please don't stop listening.
No. It's a good thing, but it's just kind of like, okay, we sit here and we ramble like today. We
babble
for 15 minutes on current things.
Yeah, on life stories and like whatever. And somehow people find that interesting. I
don't know. I mean, the only reason we created this podcast so that we'd have a reason to talk to each other at least once a week.
That's true.
Because Lord knows we can't stand each other otherwise.
Nope.
But anyway, if you would like to check out the Melting Pot Show on Mushroom FM, you can do so on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, this Sunday it is on Mushroom FM, just like it is every Sunday. And this particular Sunday I will be focusing on music that you might play at a hurricane party.
Oh.
And
interesting topic.
The idea for this came because there is such a thing as the Friday Music Challenge. I guess somebody on Twitter started this, and the hashtag is Fry Music Challenge. And the challenge this week was songs that you would play at a hurricane party that aren't rock, or something like that.
Oh.
And so that gave me a whole list of like 20 different songs.
Oh.
Most of them turn out to be rock songs because people don't pay attention to the challenge. But
don't tell me. Let me guess one.
Okay.
Let's see. What would be one? Hey, how about that Rock You Like a Hurricane song?
Yeah, there you go. That is one of them. That's the one that started it off.
Gee.
But thanks to someone that I follow who lives also in Raleigh, North Carolina, I found out about this Fry Music Challenge. And I'm not exactly sure who the people are involved in it, but it provided some fodder for Mushroom FM. So, woohoo!
So head on over to mushroomfm.com for more details.
Tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. And this mess, episode 106, is going to be wrapped up.
Yes, as Hurricane Irene is slowly leaving the area, I believe it must be in Virginia now because it seems like the wind and the rain have sort of subsided here for the most part.
Few gusts here and there, but it's moving out.
Hopefully, if you are up in the northeast, you will be safe and
I hope so.
Be able to sustain everything. One tip that you can do is if you have one of these battery backup things for your computers, if the power goes out, you can use that to charge your cell phone.
Yeah, I found that out during the tornado event last April.
It just all of a sudden dawned on me, you know, that sucker's a battery. Hot diggity dang. Next thing you know, we had cell phones.
Yep.
So anyway.
We will simply say
bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.